Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Elijah Campbell is now on the board at our Hillside Medical Game Studio. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Tomorrow we'll be at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena, getting ready for the Predators and Winnipeg Jets. Derek Mason will be back on the show with us tomorrow. And in fact, we've just gotten word that Ian Eagle will join us tomorrow during the show. I think at noon tomorrow. Excited about that. He is going to be on the call, of course, of the Titans and the Bengals.
Outstanding.
Yeah. By the way, little bit before our show, the NHL put it out there that speaking of the Predators, their game Saturday against the Red Wings at Bridgestone Arena has been pushed to 7:30 instead of 7 o'clock. So a 7:30 start time, which makes sense. Quite honestly, I was like, if they're going to change it, don't be surprised if it's not even an 8 o'clock game. I know that's late, but because of the Titans' 3:30 start, that makes sense. So a 7:30 start, that'll give you the opportunity to do the double dip if you like. We've talked about the three times the double dip has been in play. I've done the double dip all three times. I will not be doing the double dip the third time or fourth time this year. But, Willie, you did go back and look at the games and who they were against and the results. So let's pass that along.
Well, the first one was January 8th, 2000. Now, that was an early start for the Titans and the Bills. Crummy weather. What are we getting ourselves into here? Tough game. The whole Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson situation. Game unfolds. Titans win on the Music City Miracle. And the place goes nuts. Downtown is a zoo. Between about 2, 3 o'clock and the time that the Predators start that night. The Predators were in their second year ever. They're playing the Blackhawks. And so the Titans win on the Music City Miracle. Big celebration. Everybody moseys over to what was then called Nashville Arena. And the Predators beat the Blackhawks 6-3. I went back and looked at the box score. Of all people, Tom Fitzgerald, not really known as a goal scorer, had two goals that night for the Predators, the captain.
Nice.
So, Fitzy, with a big night. And you know who else was in the score column that night? J.P. Dumont. But he was playing for the Blackhawks.
I was going to say, not with the Preds in 2000. No way.
So
I'm calling BS.
Interesting history there. So the Titans and Preds both win on that day. Then you fast forward to January 11th, 2003. We talked about it with Terry McCormick. Titans are the number two seed in the AFC. They're the division champion. I think it was the first year of what we now know as the AFC South, I think. I may have that wrong by year, but I think that's the case. Or maybe not. No, I think so.
Hold on, let me look. You're saying the South, the AFC, the current AFC South.
2002.
Yeah, that's correct.
That was the first year of the AFC South? Or was that the last year of the old AFC Central? 02. AFC South. Yeah, that was the first year of the AFC South. So the Titans go 11-5. They are playing the Steelers. And the game goes to overtime. Great shootout, Tommy Maddox against Steve McNair. Titans win on a game-winning field goal by Joe Nedney. Bill Cowher goes nuts because Nedney missed a very easy field goal, but he got run into, sold it, swung around the leg, fell down, got to do it again, makes it the second time. Titans win. So that's also a Saturday afternoon, but that game was more like this one's going to be. You know, a 3:30 start. And so that went to overtime. Everybody comes over. The Predators that night are playing the Coyotes. And they win in overtime. Coyotes win on a Scott Walker game-winning goal. Scott Walker was in the arena last night as an assistant coach for the Vancouver Canucks.
Did you know that, by the way?
I did. He was hired right when Bruce Boudreau was hired. He jumped on the staff. Scott Walker was actually a part of the Canucks before, and the Predators selected him from Vancouver in the expansion draft. So Scott Walker became one of those great foundation players from the expansion era. He got the game winner against the Coyotes that night. So a double win for Nashville. So then the third one, unfortunately, this was not the charm for the Titans. January 10th, 2009, Titans number one seed against the Ravens. Titans need, like they do this year, two wins to get to the Super Bowl. They fumbled three times. Lendale White was the guy that, you know, he never fumbled. Coughed one up. Algie Crumpler had a big fumble. And still the game's tied 10-10. There was the infamous Joe Flacco play clock hit zero. Should have been a delay of game. They get a big third down conversion. They win it 13-10, pull the upset, and knock out the number one seed. Of course, Chris Johnson, CJ2K, this is before he had the 2,000-yard season the following year, but he was having a great year and a great game that day, twisted his ankle, wasn't the same the rest of the game. The Predators that night beat the Blackhawks 4-1, so it was not quite as good a mood for the fans, but the Predators did pull off a win. David Legault had two goals that night for the Predators, including an empty net goal. As he was
famous. No way.
Yeah.
Leggy with an empty netter?
I know you're surprised to hear that happened.
I'm shocked. I am stunned by that. So, the theme is the Predators win these games.
The Predators have played well in these games. This will be the
fourth. When the double dip happens, this will be the fourth time, the Predators are 3-0 in the double dip.
Let's hope that trend continues.
Playoff game. Yeah. Titans playoff game at home, followed by a Predators game, home game that night. They're 3-0. Okay.
Yep. When you really get down to it, there's not a lot of Titans home playoff games in the history.
No. Unfortunately,
no. Exciting happening. Yeah.
That's why I said
last year the Predators season I don't think had started yet when the Titans played the playoff game against the Ravens, right? Because the season was pushed back so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't start until January.
In 2000, the other game where they played the Ravens and lost, the infamous game, the block field goal touchdown, all of that stuff, nightmare. That was a Sunday game, and the Predators did not play in that one. That's the only other home playoff games.
That's why when I brought up with Terry, I mean, this has got a real shot. It's got a shot to basically reshape this market again, like the Music City Miracle did. That was the first time. But this market, man, was so, so much different. But that was enormous when that happened. And then, of course, the run to the Super Bowl. That was as big as you could get in this market at that time, right? Because the market, like I said, was a totally different market. I mean, we're talking about 20 years ago, 20-plus years ago. And then the Predators reshaped it with their run to the Stanley Cup Final. And it's well-documented there, and the scenes on Broadway, and, you know, it just was crazy. I mean, the Nashville SC, the MLS, they're like, we want to be in that market, right? It changed, it reshaped our market.
Sure.
And Nashville's just continued to grow since then. And now the Titans have the opportunity. They have the opportunity to really, for this thing to be the biggest thing they've ever had when it comes to their product on the field. Like right now, the biggest thing they've ever hosted is the NFL draft. True? And that was fantastic. That also reshaped our market. That was unbelievable. It was the best NFL draft they've ever had. I don't care what anybody says in the league office. The one here was the best NFL draft they've ever had, period. But that is an off-the-field event. They've got the opportunity now to have the biggest on-field event they've ever had, because this will be way bigger than the Music City Miracle, way bigger. If they can do it, it'll be way bigger than the Pittsburgh win. If they can win Saturday, setting up a conference championship game here against either Kansas City or Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl, there's an opportunity in a two-week window for this market just to absolutely explode again like we've seen it do in the past.
Yeah, I would agree. It's so different than a Stanley Cup run, because a Stanley Cup run is a two-month buildup. You know, every other day you have a new chapter. This is more of a short window, but still very special. I'll take it one step further. I think, and we've been hinting at this, I don't know that they will have a better chance than they have right now, all things considered, with the age of their key players, where they are in the salary cap. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think you're off.
I think they'll be a really good contender next year, but I don't know if they'll be better than they are. They're going to have some difficult decisions, just like every team does. But with the age of Tannehill, where Derrick Henry is in his situation, where Julio Jones is, this is as good a shot as you're going to get. It may be the best shot that you get with this group. So can you take advantage and play your best? That's what's so compelling, is it's not a series. You can have a dud in a seven-game series. You can go out and get beat 5-0 in a hockey game, or you can get beat by – I remember the series in the mid-'80s. I think it was 85. The Celtics beat the Lakers in one of those great series that they had. Celtics won game one by like 40, but the Lakers won the series. You can't do that in football. If you have a bad day, that's it.
Yeah, your season's over.
You may never get back.
I'll tell you why I'm going to sign up for that. Look, I don't expect the Titans to sign up for this, especially publicly. There's no reason for you to, just like I wouldn't, you know, expect the Predators or anybody else to publicly sign up for what you're saying. But I'm telling you, I will sign up and say it's going to be true. I hate to admit it, but it's probably going to be true, because I will tell you, because I'm guilty of this, and the stock in you're in the window has gone down for me, because I realize how difficult the window is, right? And I'm the one that was sitting there in post-game at Bridgestone Arena after game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, when everybody was down and depressed of, hey, it stinks, they lost, you know, and it's not going to happen, but keep your head up. It was a magical season. It was an unbelievable ride. It's something you'll take with you the rest of your life. But, hey, they're in a window. They're in like a 4 or 5 year window where this is what you should get used to for the next 4 or 5 years. And as we find out in professional sports, it's just really, really hard. Really hard to keep doing it. That's why what Tampa Bay has done has been really impressive. It's why what Kansas City has done, while they did lose last year, but getting to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years, and they've got an opportunity to make it 3 years in a row. It's why what Buffalo did back in the day, 4 consecutive years, is unbelievable. It's so hard to actually do, even though it looks like you are in that window. But as we know, there's so many things that have to go your way and go right for you to, you know, to recreate a run to the end, to the finish line. And to do it, you know, year after year, it's hard. Now, maybe if they get past Winnipeg the following year, maybe they do exactly what I was sitting there saying that night after they lost to the Penguins. But they didn't. They lost in the second round in Game 7. You know why? Because Winnipeg had the second-best record in the league that year. The Predators had the best. The two teams with the best record in the league were in the same division and had to play each other in the second round. So I'm saying it's so hard in sports. And like you said, in football, it's even harder, because at least in hockey you get a series, right? You can have a bad game. You know, a game does not define a series. But in football, you have your bad game and you're done. You clean out your lockers and you go home. And we'll see you in training camp. And so I agree with you. I think they're in a window. And they've had success, right? Since Mike Vrabel has been the head coach and John Robinson has been the general manager, they've been a very good team and a playoff team. But I do think this year is setting up to be the year. So I would agree with you. It doesn't mean that they can't be back in this spot again next year, But are the Cards going to look as favorable as they look right now? Remember, the Bills and the Chiefs, somebody goes home this weekend. Sunday night, somebody goes home. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to go through both of them to get to the Super Bowl, right? You have to go through the Bengals. I get it. They've had a great season. They've won a playoff game. But you get the Bengals at home. You should win that game, and you get the winner of the other game. And you're in the Super Bowl if you can find a way to win both of those games at home with what we talked about earlier in the show, last hour, where you're actually getting healthier at this time of year. Actually, things are going your way with the health status of players this time of year. Like, that extra week may have served them well, right? It should give them an advantage. Where, meanwhile, last week you had the 49ers pull off the upset, and a guy like Nick Bosa, who is vitally important to their defense, leave the game with concussion. You had Fred Warner, who is vitally important to that defense, which is really, really good, leave with an ankle injury. The Bengals win their game at home. Oh, by the way, their big D tackle, who's vitally important to them, is out. He's done. He's on IR. He is done. They've also got Trey Hendrickson, who had an unbelievable season, leave with a concussion. Don't know his status. And so, to your point, I do think it's actually setting up. It may be the best spot they're going to be in. They may not ever get a better spot than they're in right now. Like I said, they're never going to admit that, but we can talk about it. So I tend to agree with you. Either I put Willie to sleep or he's on mute.
I'm with you. Well, okay. It's 11:20. I thought we had to get to the break. So point made.
Take us to the break.
We actually agree on something.
We do. Tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's do it. QC Kinetics has got the message for you to get moving in 2022 and be active. And if you've had some issues with that, with your joint pain, they've got the product that you need to check out. If you haven't already, check out QC Kinetics. They've got something that's an alternative to some of the conventional treatments, the traditional treatments that have worked very well for some over a long period of time. You know, if you get up there in age like me and you're active enough, you probably had a surgery somewhere along the way. But this is something you may not have considered. QC Kinetics, non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. Lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and no downtime. That's good combinations. This is exciting stuff. Restorative treatments that actually encourage your body to heal itself using these highly concentrated natural biologics. So if you had that knee pain relief, shoulder, back, hips, all of that stuff that starts creeping up on you as you age and you want to stay active, don't let them keep giving you the steroids or don't let them tell you that surgery is the only option. Check out this free second opinion by calling QC Kinetics and imagine life in 2022 without the pain and the hindrance. So call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics right now, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. One more time, QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024.
Oh, this is probably has Willie just jamming out, just freaking out. Cutting edge, as he would call it.
That's a good one. Some early cure right there.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Boys don't cry.
You know what else is cutting edge? Smashville Live. It's cutting edge. Tonight, during the 6 o'clock hour here on these airwaves, Michael McCarron and Mark Borowiecki. This should be a really good show. Two really good talkers and two guys that have had really good seasons. How about Michael McCarron? Talked about this some last night in pregame and in postgame. A guy that, you know, when it was announced, really didn't garner any attention, right? Nobody really said anything. But I really like the way he's playing. I like what he brings to the table. A big body, big physical guy, right now centering that fourth line. I thought that line was really good last night in Tomasino, Cousins, and McCarron. I really like him, but it was pretty cool. You know, his story, he's a first-round pick in Montreal. He's just a guy that's just kind of, you know, been in and out of the league, hasn't really panned out. And for whatever reason, so far to this point, Predators, by the way, have played exactly half of their games for this regular season. I like what I see out of him. I like what he brings to the table.
Yeah, he has settled in, I think, and done a nice job. He was a first-round pick way back when and has had to go through a lot of trials, tribulations, and he's had to work very hard to carve out this role. And I would have loved to have seen him put that one in last night. He had the breakaway. I think with a little luck, he could score a few more goals. I think he's got the ability to do it. But I think your first job as a fourth liner is nothing bad happens. But like you said, they've been getting a little spark. Tomasino was excellent last night. I think they've had some very good games. Matt Luff has partnered well with McCarron at times.
He's another guy. No attention whenever they brought him in, right? It was just kind of an email that was sent out, right? And it was like, okay. Yeah, but nobody really talked about it.
Yeah. Who are these guys?
Yeah.
But they've been nice role players and part of a good story for the first half of the season, even though they are in a bit of a lull right now. It was frustrating last night. They go up 1-0 on Phil Tomasino's power play goal. Great shot. And then right on the next shift, their season momentum, and Yakov Trenin had a wide open net and just missed it. You wonder what could have been if that went in. Roman Josi hit a post in the first period. But, you know, this is going to happen. It's been a bit of a it's been such an interesting first half in that for a long time when they went whatever that was, 12-1-1 or 12-2-1, they were every play like that, they were making the play. You know, they needed a goal. They got a big tip. Key goals at key times. And then this little patch here where they're 0-3-1, they haven't done it as much, right? It's just not going their way as much. They're not quite playing as well. And so they've got to get out of this as quick as possible. And part of that last night, McCarron had a great breakaway, got stopped. Demko
was
looking good.
And Tomasino was giving him a nice screen.
Oh,
behind the play.
Yeah, I thought that I thought he made a good move. It was just a great save. Tomasino had another good look in the second period where he got a great pass from Nick Cousins, and Demko just got it with the shoulder. You know, it is truly a game of inches. But, you know, the Predators have won a lot of games this year on plays like that that have gone their way, so you can't always get that. Big, big game tomorrow against the Jets. Really need to stabilize. You've got the Jets coming in the Central Division, hungry to get back up into the race. They're going to be in the wild card race at least, and they want to get back up into that top four. A lot of hockey to be played. You know, we've kind of conditioned ourselves, Darren. We haven't had a full 82 in a long time. Sometimes you're like, hey, we've been playing for a while here, and still got a half a season to go.
Well,
I think the postseason starts.
I feel pretty comfortable after David Poile. I flat out asked him about, you know, again, when is these makeup games? And I feel like it's coming, like the next 24 hours. I feel like it's coming. In fact, it's got to be today or tomorrow. That was the vibe I got from him. Like, we're about to find out. Like, yeah. I would be stunned if next week
last
we're
night.
Still –
Yeah, I had some people tell me last night they heard it would be today. I don't know if that's 100% going to be true, but hopefully, because we need to know. Didn't we put some people on the list on Friday? Trying to get people to get the schedule
out? Well, We put the league on the list.
Yeah.
Like, give us the damn makeup dates. Let's go.
Let's go.
Justin Bradford's got a honeymoon to schedule. Let's go.
Yeah. Schedule his honeymoon.
I got indoor practices to schedule. Let's go. Let's get those dates
high school
out there.
We got a lot of stuff going on. Let's go.
You brought up Thatcher Demko. I feel like Thatcher is a guy. You probably ran into a couple Thatchers when you would go to the Vineyard, Martha's Vineyard, in the summer. I feel like Thatcher Demko grew up at the country club, you know?
He does sound like he would go to Harvard.
But
you know where he was born?
No, I don't know anything about him. I just crack up at his first name.
He was born in San Diego.
Really?
Yeah. Now, how many goalies are from San Diego?
I would say We saw him last night. That's it.
Yeah. He actually played collegiately at Boston College. He's a good player. He's a very good goalie for them. The Canucks are an interesting one. You know, after digging this huge hole, they're playing really well right now.
Under Bruce.
How far can they go? Can they get back into the race? They still have a very big uphill climb if they're actually going to make it. But what's also shaping up is the Pacific is a little less deep than the Central. The Central is a tough, tough division, very deep. Pacific is getting better, but it's still, you know, there's still Anaheim and there's L.A. There's a little bit of can they sustain or are they still a little bit young? What's going on with Edmonton? That's what everybody wants to know in Canada. Everybody's up in arms. Did you see the press conference with Leon Draisaitl? Did you happen to see that?
No.
Oh, my goodness. We might have to pull that up. Elijah, if you want to just look up the Leon Draisaitl press conference, it's everywhere. Now, Leon Draisaitl just kind of lost it and went after Jim Matheson, who I'm sure, Darren, at some point you've had him on the show. Longtime writer for Edmonton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
no,
I have to
definitely.
Say, as much as we like Jim Matheson, he's a Hall of Fame writer. He's been doing it for decades and decades. He kind of lost his cool and asked kind of a jerky question to follow up and kind of threw gasoline on the fire. It's a press conference that just goes south.
Hmm.
I think
this
we should
was
play
after
this.
A game.
This was it. Might have been just yesterday. The Oilers haven't played a lot of games. That's also part of the issue.
Yeah,
they've had the COVID. They can't have fans. A lot of their games have been postponed, and so they're just sitting on this nasty run where they can't buy a win. A lot of negativity going on, and Leon Draisaitl just kind of lost it. Just got very smart alecky, and it just turned into a debacle in about a 90-second period of time.
Well, you know, Hal knows this. Chris Mason knows this. I mean, we all know this. It's not fun to be losing in Canada.
No.
Especially when you have expectations. It's not fun. And I would say Toronto and Edmonton have been, you know, the poster children for it's not fun to be in those markets when you underachieve, when you have high expectations. You have superstars on your team and high expectations, and you keep underachieving. It's not fun to be in those markets. But they tend to be relentless.
I don't know how quick. Maybe we just take a break and have Elijah be able to cue it up here. But I'm curious to know, you being a veteran of media, just what you think of the exchange. Who do you place more blame on? How much responsibility is on the writer? How much and the person that asked the questions, and how much is on the player just checking out? I think there's been tons of articles and reaction in the hockey media in these circles about media relations.
I want to hear it.
I mean, I've been
built
getting
it up.
People text me all the time, like, what do you think of this? I mean, this is a superstar player and a Hall of Fame writer going at it. And you would think they're third graders.
This. Well, this better be good because you've built it up pretty big. By the way, let me finish this up about Smashville Live tonight. So tonight during the 6 o'clock hour, I told you it's going to be Michael McCarron and Mark Borowiecki. That should be a really, really good show. During the 6 o'clock hour here on these airwaves, you can watch the show via the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Make sure you check out Smashville Live all season long on Wednesday nights during the 6 o'clock hour. And it's brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. I'm being told that Elijah has the clip. So without further ado, let's hear it.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
Well, I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
There you go.
I'm going to say that was not organically happening that night. I think that's called a buildup.
Oh,
that's
no
that's obviously been brewing like a like a pot of coffee. I don't think that was just that night. Whenever that was, what did you say that was last night or the other night?
I think it was yesterday. Yeah, I don't think it was after a game. It sounded to me like Leon Draisaitl has answered these kind of questions for weeks. Remember, they're like 2-10-2 after being 16-5 to start the season. The Edmonton Oilers, who are under the microscope, it's like Ohio State football or Tennessee football, Kentucky basketball. I mean, it is everything in that city, the Oilers. And you've got two of the best players in the game, and they can't buy a win right now. Still a long way to go in the season. And so you had Leon Draisaitl, who I haven't heard him do anything like that before. But I think he did what so many players in a lot of sports want to do on certain days. You're just not in the mood. Mm-hmm. Your team's struggling. But you turn it on autopilot and you just give some answer that's satisfactory, even though it's a non-answer, a bunch of Bull Durham lines.
Well, that wasn't anything. He didn't answer.
And he didn't answer. He goes, yeah. Everything.
Yeah, he didn't have any.
There was a Bill Belichick is what it was.
Yeah.
We got to get better at everything.
Oh, and Peter Laviolette used to do it here. I mean, here's what I would say to every coach and every player. One, I understand it. I understand. Like, you're once again, we've said this for years and years and years on this show. Are they held to a high standard? Yes, for good reason. They're paid well, and they're at the top in the world in the sport. Okay? But they're human beings, and they're not robots. And so, do they have bad days? They absolutely have bad days, okay? Whether it's something at home, whether it's something going on in the room, whether they just don't feel good, whether they're just having a bad day like all of us do, okay? I love this job, and I've been blessed to do it for a long time. Do I have bad days? Yes. Do I have days when, you know, at times it's like this is like the last thing I'm on? Yes. Does that mean I don't love what I do? Absolutely not. Does it mean that I don't care? Absolutely not. I get mad at myself afterwards, but that's called life, and we all do that. They're no different. But with that being said, I also can't get on here and do certain things like that because I'm having a bad day because
right.
It'll come back and bite me in the butt even more because I'll just compound the situation. And I would say the same thing to coaches and players. While I empathize with you in whatever you're not happy about, answering the same questions over and over again, you're not happy about a member of the media that continues to get under your skin, you're not happy with something going on at home or in the locker room, something's really irritating you and it's just not the day, I get it. I do. But I will tell you, if you go down that road, which Peter Laviolette did here and many coaches have done, and players, as you just heard, you don't win. You will never win this. No matter how out of line.
You're right.
Right? No matter how out of line the questions are or the reporter, you will always lose in the court of public opinion. You'll lose.
Yes. You're going to lose. And so he – and you put it in perspective. Draisaitl was – he and his team have gone from unstoppable to just can't get a break. So his mm-hmm. brain is fried. So let me flip it there to the other side about the question. Okay, and I know a lot of players behind the scenes, they moan and groan to questions like this. The first question that really set him off, and he just basically said, I'm shutting down. I'm not answering. Give me one thing that you guys have to do better. You know, it could be a million things. Right? There's so many things going
wrong.
That's
not an out-of-line question,
though. He doesn't answer it.
It's not an out-of-line question.
I agree. It's not a good question, but it's not an out-of-line question.
It's not.
But what about this? Should a reporter ever follow up with what he followed up with?
That's why I said this was not
that's
that
line.
Day. That was something that's been brewing because then he lost it. But again, was he out of line?
So
we've got to
hold the reporter to the standard too. And this is a Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that.
Well, let me ask you something. We play How many Mike Vrabel press conferences do we play here? How many Predators press conferences have we played here? Has Adam Vinken got under people's skin? Did he get under Peter Laviolette's skin? Has Paul Kaharsky gotten under coaches' skin or players' skin? Once again, though, if you go down that road, and look, and I'm not siding either way. I'm just saying when Peter Laviolette chose to dig in, how many times I would say,
or
look,
shut
he's
down.
Not helping, or shut down.
Or both.
Like, you're not helping the situation, coach. You're not. You're making the situation worse. I understand you don't want to answer that question. I understand you don't want to divulge this. You know where the reporter's going, but you have to figure out a way to just, I don't know, circle the airport, circle the runway. You don't have to land the plane, but just circle it. But don't go running into the mountain, right? Don't go land in the field. Just circle the runway and just give something. But if you shut down, you're just not going to win. Or in this case, Leon Draisaitl could have given a nothing. There was nothing wrong with the initial question, in my opinion.
And he could have said, "Pucks behind their D."
Yes,
we got to work hard.
Right, the same stuff. Right, that probably Matheson and the media have heard all year. But once you do that, then by the way, the reporter knows. Oh, so you're going to go there, and then they're going to dig in too. And so then you've got this, probably two headstrong guys. And, they both dug in, and they look like mountain rams probably if they could be in the same room together.
Yeah.
But, wow. My message is, look, I understand, but don't go there because you won't win. That's all I'm saying. You won't win. I promise
you. I just wonder in that town with a writer that's been in that city for that long and a guy who is a superstar player, where the public – in Edmonton falls on that. How much? I'm sure they're having tons of debates on the radio about that exchange.
Yep. All right. I'm going to tell you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. By the way, Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. Looking forward to that conversation. They do a lot of things under one roof. They've helped me for years, and they can help you. Whether you've tacked on some unwanted pounds, which tends to happen after the holidays, or it's just something we struggle with as adults, right? There's going to come a time when you probably like to shed a few pounds. Well, weight loss management's important to them, and they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction and get rid of those unwanted pounds. There's no doubt about it. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and every year that goes by, it gets more challenging. Well, their staff will be more than happy to sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. Haven't felt yourself, haven't had any drive, haven't had any energy, had experienced some mood swings. You're like, what's going on? I feel not like me. Well, I'll get your levels checked. They tend to dip as you get older, and these areas can be affected by your levels falling. They can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof out there in Cool Springs. At 1642 Westgate Circle, state-of-the-art facility. Go check it out. I have been for years. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD. Products curated for life. Don't ever turn off the show, ever, from 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, because you just never know when you should be listening, like right now. If you could call up and tell Elijah who leads the team in goals for the Predators, if you can do that at 615-737-1025, that's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on April 28th. Who leads the team in goals for the Predators? Tell Elijah that at our Hillside Medical Game Studios, and whoever can correctly do that, you'll be headed to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on April 28th. Once again, 615-737-1025. By the way, cool story. I saw this morning on NFL Network. Jarrell Casey, our buddy Jarrell Casey, on there because he will be the honorary 12th Titan at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I'd love
good
to.
Move.
Hopefully we'll be able to get him on this week. I don't know if we'll be able to connect, but it would be great if we did. We talked to him, obviously, after he retired. But he is going to be back in town and the honorary 12th Titan on Saturday. We'll see if he can get him fired up.
Yeah, I like that they're on great terms with him. Such a classy guy, did a lot of great things, went through some of the tough times when the team was really down in the doldrums. So I think it's great that he's back on board. And that was a short-lived breakup there, which is, you know, totally understandable why that kind of thing happens. But it's good that everybody, after a certain amount of time went by, came to their senses, mended the fence, reached out, and they've got him back in there. All right.
Do we think the Predators players should be there and throw a catfish on the field? Or be on the Jumbotron drinking shotgunning beer? What do you think?
Well, you know, if it was a noon start, then maybe.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't think they'll be over at the game.
Probably not.
7:30 game.
Probably not.
Some of those guys like to get to the rink pretty early.
Yeah. Yeah. But that would be fun. I really do wish they were off on Saturday, because that would be cool if they were able to, you know, go to the game and like be in a suite or something, or be in a box and
yeah,
do something
cool,
show them on the Jumbotron.
In all honesty, it does cramp our sporting schedule style. You know, you love for the game to be on Sunday.
I was rooting for Sunday big time.
You know, all of our kids have stuff on Saturday. You've got college basketball. If you love college basketball like I do, I like watching that. And, of course, you got so many hockey games. You want to do all that on Saturday and then enjoy the football game on Sunday. But I get it. The Titans usually get hit. Like we mentioned,
I know,
by the counter. This three times before, all of those games we mentioned where they played on the same day as the Predators are all Saturday games. The Titans get stuck on Saturday. They're not the biggest draw. It's a
last weekend. I was going, please be Sunday. Please be Sunday. And I'm like, I said out loud, I was like, I know it's going to be Saturday though. Talking to myself. I was having a nice conversation with myself. Please be Sunday. Please be Sunday. But I know it's going to be Saturday. And sure enough, it was Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, how about my son, Mahoney? Loves going to the games. He's been to several Titans games this year. Was working it. Hey, you know, with his buddies, you think I could go to the game? We're trying to figure out ways to get tickets. Figured out a way to get some tickets. Knows the right people, his friends, whatever. They have a makeup game for their high school basketball. When we had the snow before, they got a game rescheduled Saturday at 4:30. And sure enough, here comes the Titans schedule, and he was not a happy camper. He was not a happy camper at all.
I can one-up you. Maddox's game is at 4 o'clock, his basketball game.
Yep. So you'll be at courtside. Mahoney will be playing. And it's a big game, too. It's a huge district game. They're in a great race. University school. Man, I was thinking, hey, they're playing a fairly new school, PCA, Providence Christian, in Murfreesboro. I was like, they love the Titans out there. Maybe they'll switch the time to noon or something. Maybe they'll work out. I don't know. But the world does go on. Not everything stops for a Titans game, even though we kind of like it too. But, yeah, Sunday would have been a little more convenient.
Well, I'll be DVRing it.
Yeah.
I'll be watching it for sure. Afterwards, even though I know I'm going to know, well, I'm going to know because I'm not even going to pretend to like keep it secret. Like, I'm just going to have to just watch it on Sunday.
I went into Coach Willie mode with my son. I was like, you got to focus on your game. You don't worry about the Titans. You know, I tried to give him that. It wasn't working very well on Sunday night when the schedule came out. He was
Congratulations, Al Box. Al was. The lines blew up. I don't know if he was the first caller or not. I know it was loaded lines immediately. But Al correctly guessed Philip Forsberg, who has 19 goals on the season. 19 goals, and by the way, he's missed 14 games. Tells you what kind of season he's having. He does lead the team in goals, so Al, go enjoy the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena in late April. We will come back, and we will start the third hour with our man Tim Hasselbeck. We'll talk NFL playoffs and Titans with him next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.